Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Mediums and Messages on Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. I'm Joe Peretta, and I'm your host for this evening. We'll be taking your calls live on air in just a minute to bring through some messages from your loved ones in spirit, so give us a call here on the show at 1-888-627-6008, and if possible, try to use a landline phone for the best reception. Our sponsor tonight is Hugs from Heaven, turning loved ones' clothing into loving memories. And you can visit them on their website at hugsfromheaven.com, and we spell that H-U-G-Z. Our guest medium on the show tonight is Siri Bernson, and she'll be joining us in just a moment. But first, I have a couple of real quick updates. Our Summer Grief Transformation Retreat is taking place from July 12th to July 14th. This one's taking place in Connecticut, and it's as featured in the Netflix series Surviving Death, which if you haven't seen, please check out. We're heavily featured in episode 4. The Forever Family Foundation, and it's a very special all-inclusive weekend in Connecticut of like-minded people and experienced facilitators coming together to share, learn, explore, and discover. This retreat is being held at an intimate center with a bucolic setting and features a combination of small breakout sessions and general presentations, all designed to open the mind to the reality that there is life beyond physical death. This retreat will be limited to a maximum of 50 attendees, and smaller breakout sessions will further enhance the overall experience. We also have another grief retreat. If you can't make it to that one, or if you miss the tickets because it does sell out pretty quickly, on October 18th to October 20th, and that would be in California in the San Jose area. I will be at both of the retreats that I just talked about, so if you want to come hang out with me for a weekend and get some messages, I will be there. And for more information about us, please go to our website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Okay, so let's get to the show. Let me introduce our guest. Our guest tonight is medium Siri Bernson. She's certified with the Forever Family Foundation. And in addition to that, Siri is also a grief recovery specialist, and she is also a Reiki master. She has a master's degree in visual art and has traveled all over the world. She speaks several different languages and uses her gift to heal and to comfort those who have lost loved ones through the power of mediumship. And we're so happy to have her back on the show tonight. Hey, Siri, welcome to the show.
Hey, Joe. Hey, everyone. Thank you so much.
Good. Siri, I have to laugh. Every time I say your name, my phone tries to talk to me. I hope they can't hear my phone beeping in the background. But anyway, so Siri, I wanted to talk to you tonight about, so you're a very evidential medium. Like, I'm not trying to gas you up or anything because you're my guest tonight, but I've seen you work, and you're very specific, and your emphasis really is on sort of validating and giving real concrete facts and evidence. And, you know, I approach mediumship, you know, the same way. I think it's one of our responsibilities as mediums to do that. But I don't know if, and I just want to get your perspective on this and maybe educate some people, if everyone knows how much pressure there really is to kind of stick to the evidence, you know, primarily during a reading. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's not just the pressure, but I mean, there's so many different facets and layers to the work that we do. The first thing is that we have no scripts. We have no idea. Every time we go into a reading, we have no idea who's going to be coming through. And it's usually not until like a few minutes before the reading that we, you know, we connect, we link in, and then we blend with the spirit. And so we have to really depend heavily on not knowing anything. And so it's kind of like living on the edge all the time with the work that we do. But then on top of it, it also, because we are in this work to help people heal. And then the question is, if we were robots, we would not be taking any of this on. But we are humans, and we are very empathetic. Most, I would say, all the mediums that I've met, they're very empathetic. Mm. And so there's this enormous pressure also, not just with the evidence, but also with sort of holding space for the grieving people.
Right.
So that's another facet to this whole thing. Is the, I think, in my view, is the you know, the taking care of ourselves, but then also holding space for others.
Right. That's very true, and that's super important. And actually, you're not the only medium I know who's certified in you know, as a grief specialist or grief counseling or something. It is a really common, and it's a good thing to do, actually, is to sort of kind of learn about grief itself outside of, you know, an afterlife or, you know, anything related to mediums, because it's such a sensitive and just difficult thing for everyone, you know?
Yeah. And I think also, I mean, the older we get, then we begin to lose more and more people. But grief is not just from losing a loved one. It could also be from losing a job, losing a career. And I think the last 3 years, you know, there's been an enormous amount of loss in so many aspects.
Right.
People lost friends, you know, disagreements and so on and so on. Losing, like when we have families that get into arguments, you know, there's grief behind that. And so there's grief all throughout our lives, and it's like holding space with that and coping with it and having the ability to work through it is not easy. And I think that's for this is just my view, that every person that is sort of studying mediumship, wants to be a medium, wants to be an evidential medium, I would suggest that they study up about grief, because then they understand in a deeper level the meaning of mediumship, the meaning of the connections that we make.
Right, I totally agree. And also, not to change the direction we're going in, but I think, you know, performing for us at that level where we're really, really reaching, I shouldn't say reaching, but allowing ourselves and our consciousness to kind of have those very specific pieces of evidence kind of put in our mind, that kind of takes a lot of energy. And you have to be sort of in the right headspace. And I think sometimes we forget, as mediums and even other people definitely forget, that we're still human. So someday you might wake up and like just really have a hard time kind of getting into that headspace, or you know, as some people might say, like I call it kind of raising your vibration, right? So like some days it's just harder to get to get in the zone. It's not like, you know, we can just sit down. If you have a regular job, you can't just sit in front of a spreadsheet and be like, oh God, I hate it here, and have three cups of coffee, and eventually by one, you're in the zone. It really takes a lot emotionally and mentally for us, especially when you're doing the really high level evidential work. Because, you know, these are specific things. It's, you know, it's one thing for me to say, oh, you know, I feel your mother around you, and, you know, she had an M name and she says she loves you. Yeah, that's specific. It's nice. But, you know, when you get the information, like your mother used to drive a green car and she sold it in 1978 to your brother, that's a whole other story. Like that, it takes a lot to get, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And the other thing also, people never know what we are going through, but for instance, I had the sense that when my mom passed away, I actually took a few weeks off. I took about at least a month off to just take care of myself. I think it was like 4 or 5 weeks that I took off. And ever since then, I've been very, very, very mindful of my own space. When I'm going through, you know, when I'm going through a little bit of a rough road, then I take time for myself. But yeah, I remember that when my mom passed away, I knew that I had to take time off because I had to go through the process of grieving. And you know, like we wake up in the morning and there are days when we're like spot on with everything. And then there's those days when we are just like not right getting into the groove. And, you know, did we have a good night's sleep? Or, you know, did somebody attempt to have an argument with us the day before? So there's a lot of things that we have to be very mindful of. Like, I'm one of these people that whenever anyone is trying to have an argument with me, I just walk away because it's just not my cup of tea. Because
right.
I have to keep my life really, like, I live in peace. I live in sort of, you know, I live in quiet, like, I live in a very quiet space. I don't really listen to a lot of music, per se. I don't watch TV, really. So I really keep it, like, I really control my environment.
Right. And I think, you know, that's so, honestly, I want to just say, like, from the first thing you said, it's so responsible of you to know to take time off. Because I know a lot of mediums that will be going through like something so terrible in their personal life. And I'm like, how are they? I could never, I would, not to say that they're unethical, but it really is, you know, kind of the right thing to do sometimes when you're burnt out, or you yourself are grieving, or, you know, you're going through a divorce or whatever, or, you know, you're just super stressed. There have been days where myself, where I was like, I have to cancel my clients today. Like, I just know I'm not going to be able to do what I'm, you know, I'm supposed to do.
Yep.
And it could be because, like you said, someone fought with you the day before and you're like kind of beside yourself about it, or, you know, and just like how you said, you live a quiet, peaceful life. We all have the things, I think, as mediums that sort of make the energy flow and work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like, no, absolutely.
Like yours is peace and quiet. Mine is like peace, but it's funny. I need to listen to music and stuff before readings, and I have to kind of do stuff like that. And this is going to sound so vain and silly, but if I have any kind of public group reading, I have to make sure that I really like the outfit that I'm wearing and I feel like I look okay. Because if I feel like I'm just like dressed like a schlub, I've noticed my readings don't go as well. And I don't know if it's just like, again, because I'm a self-admitted like vain vanity, a certain amount, So I'm like, you know, preoccupied with that, or I just feel stronger in my energy when I feel like I'm presenting better. And
Right.
I got to laugh because I haven't heard that from other mediums. I think I'm like the only lunatic
No,
that's like,
no, no,
my shoes have to
no.
be nice.
No, do you know what? I'm gonna tell you this. This is one of these quirky things. I agree with you 100%. For instance, when it comes to fabric, there is energy in fabric. For instance, when people are recovering from any kind of illness, they should be wearing pure linens. And people, they can look it up. And because there's energy in linen. But if people mix linen with cotton or something else, then that kills the energy of it. So even I have created an environment where, like, when I do private readings, I do, like, I wear a lot of, organic cottons or linens and things like this. When I do the larger groups, I am like you. And, it's not about vanity. It's just that I think it is expression of beauty from within. Like, when we are dealing with grief and really hard things, we want to bring something sort of to the surface that makes us feel good, makes us feel better. That's how I look at it. We have emotions too, and I totally relate to it. When I do my larger groups, I think about those things too. Like, and people know me as somebody that wears really colorful clothing. You will almost never see me wearing black.
No, I've known you for years. I've never seen you wear black. I've seen you wear white, I think, but
A
never
lot of
black.
white. Yes, a lot of
Yeah,
white, and
I've
then
seen white.
a lot of colors. Yes, usually white
Yes.
or colors, because it, there's energy that comes with it
Yeah.
all.
I totally agree, and I, you know what? I shouldn't really say it the way that I do. I'm going to kind of take what you said because you put it perfectly. It's not so much about the vanity thing, like a joke about that, but it really
No.
is more of like an inner expression, feeling
Yep.
comfortable in myself, and like
Yep.
this is, it's like it's almost like, you know, when we teach people psychic protection, the white light around us, it's
Yep.
almost like that for me. Like I feel like I'm in my own power, and I'm showing who I am, and feel
I am,
strong. So I'm kind of doing
yeah.
what I have to do.
Oh, I am absolutely, I am with you on that one, because I think that you see, for me, it's when I wear the colorful clothing, for me, it's really about bringing joy, bring joy to the world, because the world is already a hard place to be, and the spirit world is a lot easier. So I think it is really about bringing joy. And I actually have one. I'm doing the grief retreat coming up in April, I think it is. And I have one little joke coming up, and I'm really sort of, and it has to do with one of the facilitators, that one of the grief retreats that I was at. He made a comment, and I'm gonna live off that comment for many years to come.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes, it had to do with, who's the favorite person in the room?
Oh, I think I was there for that.
Could be.
I think I was that in California?
Yes.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, so I'm already planning a joke on that one, because because we have to have fun, and we have to have fun with this too.
Right, you do. You definitely do. It's such a heavy thing that it's laughing raises the vibration too.
It does. I know the other thing also, like, I think that the forever family, I think that we, the mediums, we, and also the facilitators, the founders, and everyone around the Forever Family Foundation, I see us as a family. I see it as a very tight-knit group of people that just get along really well.
Right.
And there's love. There's love that really brings this foundation forward. That's how I see it.
I totally agree. So before we get to the phone line, Siri, do you have any events coming up? Do you have anything that you're cooking up yourself you want to let the people know about?
No, so I had messaged you really quickly because you asked me that, and since COVID, I kind of, like, because my business kind of collapsed, and I just wasn't in the mood to go online. And so, full disclosure, I actually got a little bit burned out. I mean, I've been doing this for now for 20 years, over 20 years, and I just got a little bit burned out, and I'm sort of trying to get myself back into falling in love with the work that I do. Because I think we have to love what we do. I mean, I can do it quite well, the teaching and all the groups that I did. And it's just, and I'm just very honest about it. I haven't posted much, I haven't done much, but I absolutely, my favorite thing these days is the grief retreats. That's what I love them.
Yeah, they're so nice. And honestly, it's the you meet different people, which is nice,
Yeah.
but I don't, you know, since COVID, I do everything virtual. Or over the phone, which I actually prefer,
Yeah.
because, you know, for various reasons. But I do like kind of how everyone, like you said, is sort of like a family. And even all the attendees, when you go to the grief retreats, it's 50 people. You spend the weekend with them. You kind of get to know people after you read them. Obviously, we can't talk to
Yeah.
everyone before the readings and stuff,
Yeah.
but it's just like you make nice connections, and it's like by the end of the weekend, everyone feels so much lighter, and there's a lot of love in the room, and it's
Yeah.
nice. I really enjoy them too, actually. We've done
Yeah,
a
I
few of
mean,
them
I love
together
them.
too. I like working with you because we work similarly, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. There's
Yeah.
a dynamic to it.
Yes, there is for sure. All right, my friend. Well, awesome. So let us get to the phone line. So for those of you who are just tuning into the show, our guest tonight is certified medium Siri Bernson. Am I saying your last name right? Bernson?
Sure.
Okay. And be sure to check out Siri's website at www.spiritoflight.com. Okay, so let's get to our phone lines. Now, before we take our first caller, if we take your call on air, I'll call out to you by your first name and you can let us know if you would like to make a connection with Spirit. And Siri will do a short mini reading for you. Or if you have a question for us instead, we are always happy to take your questions. Okay, so first up, we have Mary from Maryland. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good, good. Okay, so Mary, did you have a question for us or did you want to make a connection with Spirit?
I would love to make a connection with spirit, please.
Okay, thanks. You got it. I'll turn you over to Siri.
All righty.
Thank
So this is going to be quick. So my feeling is that I'm going to mention a few things, and I really hope you say yes to everything. The first thing, I'm not
you.
sure if your mom has passed away, but there's a lady that is stepping forward, and I know that she's connected to you on the mother's side. I also do know that she did spend some time in what I would perceive to be either assisted living or hospice or one of these places that you spend a few days in. My feeling also is I feel like she's really like a mom or mother figure. Do you understand a mother being in the spirit world?
My mother is still here
Do you
in life
understand?
with me.
Okay, do you understand? Do you understand a connection to Sue or Susan within the family?
There could be a Suzanne.
Okay, I'll take that as a yes. So anyway, so remember this that I said there's a lady that is stepping forward. I feel like she's connected to the mom side of the family. I also do know that she was in. I see this as either as assisted living or a hospice or one of these places that is not my home. I also do get a sense that there's a younger lady there with her. And I feel when I'm talking about a younger, she could be in her 40s or 50s. I just feel, or like younger than that. It just feels to me like she didn't get a chance to live her full life. And the lady that is coming through, though, I'm looking at her and I feel like I'm talking about September is a connection to her as in a birth, either a day of passing or I feel to me more like a birthday. She's also pointing at her chest. Do you know when people go in for one condition, but then they end up getting, for instance, if they get pneumonia and then they pass away from sort of complications, pneumonia and some other things? Because I see she's pointing at two things. It feels like my lungs are filling up with mucus. And the other thing also, she's pointing at her heart. And so it feels to me that for many, many years, she would have had a heart condition. But at the same time, I really do get a sense that pneumonia took her away. Do you understand anything that I'm saying to you?
I'm afraid I'm going to have to think about that. It's not jumping out at me.
Okay. Are you hoping to hear from a younger individual?
Yes.
Okay. And is it a man by any chance?
Yes.
Okay. And would he have been a partner of yours?
Yes.
Okay, like a husband, because there's somebody that is standing next to me, and he's actually coming really close. Do you understand him also loving? Like I'm gonna say how I see this. I feel as though his passing is through an illness, but I feel like this illness is really brief or really short, and I feel like there's a little bit of a panic before his. You know, like when you only have like a couple of months before somebody passes away, there's a sense of this urgency and panic around an illness with him. Do you understand this, please?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna say it how I see it. Either there's like 2 weeks or 2 months. There's a sense of like if it's 6 months, I'd be really stretching this. The other thing that he's showing me, I feel like he would have had affinity for what I would perceive to be. I think it is basketball or some sort of a sport that has. I don't feel like it's baseball. Do you understand this? Having this deep affinity for a sport that would be like basketball.
I'm sorry, I don't understand that.
You're not understanding that. He shows me, I'm gonna tell you honest, like he
No.
shows me Boston Celtics. I think that's a basketball thing. But do you understand your husband? But you understand that your husband had a brief illness.
Yes.
Okay. And do you also understand the sort of this quote unquote not panic per se, but urgency in finding the right answers, finding the right medical team, finding the right like finding the right people to help him.
Possibly his passing was quite sudden.
Right. That's kind of like what I'm trying to say. There's a sense of, but do you understand I'm also feeling a little bit ill before his passing? Like, I'm not, like when people feel under the weather and they're trying to figure out like what is going on, there's a sense of scrambling on the internet or scrambling on like looking for help, because I feel like there's what I hear in my heart is a precursor to his passing. So it feels to me that feeling under the weather, even though his passing is really abrupt.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Because all he shows me is like going on the phone, like what could this be and what could this be? Because my feeling is that although his passing is like it's not a sudden passing, like a suicide or an accident, but it's like an
Yeah.
illness that is like a really quick, whether it's 2 days or 2 weeks, I don't know what it is. It just feels like really, really quickly. Do you understand him also at one point talking about massive headaches or just feeling like this clamminess about his like just feeling clammy?
About 30 seconds.
Yes.
Okay, because he shows me cold sweat on his forehead, and after his passing though, he's also talking about right now that you were he shows me scratching the head, and so he shows it to me that you were thinking about doing an autopsy, or there were some questions about getting an autopsy done.
Not exactly. We did do an autopsy.
Okay, then I'm going to say this. He shows me a piece of paper, and I know this is an autopsy that I'm looking at, and I feel like he's pointing at question marks on an autopsy. Like, in other words, I feel like there's still question marks about like his autopsy or why he died the way he did.
I don't think I understand that. I'm sorry.
I'm going to leave it at that. Well, no, I'm not going to leave it at that. After his passing, my feeling is that shortly thereafter, there are, because he's putting question marks on top of a piece of paper, and I know this is an autopsy, and this question, like, why would somebody die from this? Is this like a heart-related issue, but also like, or blood clots or something? Because it just feels like I feel suddenly I'm out of breath. Do you understand any of that?
It was complications due to a hernia.
Due to what?
A hernia.
Okay, that would be a yes to me when it comes to question marks. So, in other words, because we're doing this on the radio, because I feel like I'm looking like nobody really should be dying from a hernia. Like, it's not a condition that you die from. But it feels to me that autopsy report shows me sort of question marks, like, why would somebody be dying from this thing? Because it just feels to me that his quote unquote condition that he dies from is not like a common way of passing.
Right.
So I feel like this is where the question comes in. Like, why would somebody die from this? Anyway, you have kids also. I'm just going to say this really quickly. He wants to say hello to the kids. I don't know if there's like two kids or two. Huh?
Yes.
Okay. So I feel like some of the, or like these kids that he's saying hello to, I'm not sure if there's two or three of them. I feel like there's at least a couple, if not three. And I'm not sure if they're getting ready for like the summertime, the springtime sports or springtime baseball or something like this. Do you understand this, please?
No.
Okay, I'm gonna leave it at that. Just know that your husband is the one that did come through. No, I need to stick to it. Who in the family lives really close to a baseball field?
Someone who lives close to a baseball field?
Yep.
I'm not sure.
Do you know when we have a school, like when we have a high school or elementary school, and then usually, like a lot of times, we will have the field for sports. Things like this.
Okay, I do know someone who lives close to a school.
Okay. And is that also by any chance a family member or like a really close friend?
A family member.
Wonderful. Because it just feels like he says hello to the family member that lives really close to what I would perceive to be the school on the playground or the school on the field. Anyway, I'm
Okay.
going to wrap it up on that note. I'm sorry that it's so quick and so short. Just know that he is with you. And he's holding space for you. He's also talking about you. Either you were moving his photograph or you were moving the bedstand or the bedroom. You've changed the bedroom.
I don't understand that.
So since his passing, your bedroom is still the same as it was when he passed away?
Yes, for the most part.
Okay, I'm going to stick to it then this way. Did you by any chance either move some pictures of him from the nightstand to the dresser, or from the dresser to the nightstand, or there's something specific about moving the items around?
mean, I've had pictures of him, but they've been in the same place for quite a while in the bedroom.
And are they either on a bedstand or a dresser?
It's like a jewelry armoire.
Oh, it's the same thing. It's a surface, like not on the wall.
Right, not on.
Right, it's like on a surface, like they're standing upright and they're on a surface. And then he shows me something has been in that area, has been moving around where you have the pictures of him. I feel like there's things that have been moving around. Anyway, I'm going to leave it at that and just take his love because he is with you. Even when you're not feeling him really, he still is with you. He knows everything that goes on in your life, okay?
All right. Thank you so much. I really
thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in, Mary. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Very good. All right. Next up, we have Pam from California. Hi, Pam.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
So, Pam, did you want to have a mini reading or did you have a question for us?
Mini reading, please.
Okay, you got it.
All righty. So there is a man that is actually coming forward for you, Pam. And the way he's coming forward, he's kind of like he's more on the shy side or he's more... timid is the wrong word, but he's holding back. So when he was in the crowd of people, I don't feel like he's a very chatty person. I feel like he's more reserved. But at the same time, when you did get to know him, when you got to meet him and really get to know him, he was very, very, there's deep sincerity to his personality that when he connected with people, in other words, he's coming across to me as being one of these men that he had a few good friends, but he was not one of these people that had tons of friends. I also do feel like he's stepping next to you. This would, in my mind, would indicate a partner or somebody that you would have been married to at some point. Do you understand this, please?
Not someone that I've been married to, no. No.
He stands next to you. This would indicate like the same age or similar age as you. He is looking to me like he's a little bit I'm going to give you, usually I don't give that detailed description, but I'm going to give you a description. He's coming across to me as being a little bit on the heavy side. He had a little bit of a tummy. So he's actually referring to him like having the tummy like a Santa Claus. I feel like there's an M initial that is connected to him, whether this is Michael or Matt. I don't know. It's just that he shows me Mike or it's like Mike or Matt. That's what he shows me right now. He's also talking about that he is just in his 50s or something when he passed away. I feel like I'm in my mid to late 50s when he passed away. And are you understanding anything that I'm saying to you right now?
The age, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
But not, so you understand- but not the initial or the tummy.
Okay. But you understand somebody, in, like a man in the 50s that would have passed away.
Yeah.
The next thing here also... he's talking about dad, or I need to acknowledge a father or a dad.
Okay, yeah. So the individual I'm thinking about was a father.
Wonderful. Okay, did he also manage to have either two kids or two girls?
Two kids.
Wonderful. Okay, because he's still pointing at two below him. And the other thing also here, do you know if any of his kids either play golf or croquet or why he would be banging a hammer against a wall or a hammer against the wooden balls or the hammer? Why am I? I'm pounding this hammer against. I'm going to say it in a little bit different way. Who in the family is doing some sort of either a house construction or putting up the. Putting up a patio, putting up a deck? Or doing some structure to their homes?
I don't know of anybody who's doing that in the family.
So you're not understanding somebody that is renovating a deck or the outside of a house?
No, I don't understand that, no.
Okay, the man that I was referring to, do you know if he himself ever either worked in, not in construction, but he would have been somewhat handy?
He could have been. I'm not sure.
Okay. My feeling is that he had a sudden passing because that's how I see him. I feel like his passing is kind of sudden. I also feel like I'm not at home when he passed away. He's somewhere out on the road or he's somewhere like out and about because I don't feel like I'm in a house. I'm not in my office. So that is the other thing that he's showing me right now. He's not really a strong link to me. But he's talking about now he's going on a bicycle. I have no idea why he's going on a bicycle. The individual that you're thinking of, do you understand him doing quite extensive either traveling, hiking, getting around?
No.
Okay. Do you know, I may not be with you. You know, I have a suspicion that I'm with the next caller probably. But are you hoping to hear from a younger male overall?
I am. Yes, I am.
Okay. And is he by any chance in your family, like close family member, either a son or somebody that is really, really close to you?
About a minute left.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And is this your son by any chance?
Yes.
Okay. And do you know also if he was also a little bit living a little bit on the edge of life sometimes?
No, he was pretty cautious.
Okay. So the personality that I brought through first, the one that was, but do you understand your son, that he died suddenly or he was on the road when he passed away?
It was sudden.
Okay. And would it be correct here that in the last 2 or 3 years or something that he got to know people that, I don't know if there's a mental thing with him also, like at times if he felt depressed or something, do you understand any of that?
You know, it's possible.
Okay,
it is possible.
Okay, the last 2 years of his passing, do you understand that there's something about his mental decline, in hindsight, his mental decline, like you could now, in hindsight, you could put your finger on it, but when he was going through it, because he's quiet and reserved, like I said earlier, but he didn't always tell people how he felt.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay,
yeah, definitely.
The next thing I'm going to say here, do you understand your son also being responsible in some ways for his passing?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Okay, because he's taking ownership, because he's showing it to me right now, Mom, I'm so sorry that I took my own life. There's a sense of, like, I took my own life, and so he's really apologetic for this. But he also has his own siblings, though, doesn't he?
He does have a sibling, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say this. Is his sibling banished as one of these people that goes for hikes, or they love to go on their bikes or travel or do exciting things?
Yes.
Okay. So obviously he was talking about his sibling earlier. That said, with his son here, he's talking about some sort of an unusual either celebration of life, or I'm going to say exactly how he shows this to me. Did you do some sort of a celebration of life either like on the coastline or on the mountain or somewhere in a garden? Do you understand this?
Not entirely a celebration of life, but yeah, we had a little, I don't know, celebration for him outside.
Yes, that's, I don't care, like, it just feels like there's a sense of whether you call it celebration of life, it's the same thing to me, because the way he shows it to me, like, I'm outside, I'm out under the blue sky, and there's something about acknowledging or honoring his life, the life that he lived, and the preciousness. The other thing also, when you did this celebration for him, were you, like, debating on what photos or what pictures to use for his, I'm not sure if there was, like, what is this that I'm looking at? He shows me going through pictures and choosing pictures to put on a poster or something. Do you understand this?
Yes.
Okay. And whoever was making this collage, you were debating on, like, which pictures to use.
Yes, it's hard to choose pictures of him. Yes.
Yes, okay. And the other thing also, were his kids also there when you were putting together this collage?
My son was quite a bit younger.
Okay, bear with me. I'm going to stick to this. Were there other kids? I shouldn't have said his kids. Because he shows me smaller hands also. I'm not sure if there were, like, other people involved in, like, not just you, but there were also other hands putting together this, like, there were other people that came with pictures of him.
Not really, no.
So it was just you?
And his sibling.
Okay, so it's you plus his siblings. Because I know that there's, the way he shows it to me is like mom is putting together a collage, and then I see other hands coming also, and they also put in their own, like they put in their own, because I see other hands besides yours putting together a collage. And I'm really going to stick to it that way. Who is the person in the family that loves either hot dogs or they put ketchup on everything?
you know, Probably me.
So you, like, you can eat ketchup on anything and everything? Like, as long as you have ketchup on hand, you're good?
You know, no, but I do eat... I eat a lot of ketchup. I can, or I have been known to eat a lot of ketchup. I'll put it that way.
Okay. So I'm one of these very rare people. I hardly ever eat it because I'm a little bit allergic to tomatoes, so I kind of stay away from it. So he's kind of like, I'm going to say, honestly, like the way he's laughing, he's actually laughing at it. You know these ketchup bottles that you squirt, like you squeeze them and then you hear the sound from, you know, that sound? So the way he showed it to me was like, oh, there's somebody in the family that will squirt ketchup on almost everything. Like, you know, could we dip pizza into ketchup? So just know that he's there with you and he's sending you a lot of love. And he's asking you also, I'm not sure if there's a day of memories or birthday coming up in April, but he's really reminding you to just take a deep breath and celebrate life as it is, because you have other family members around you that really love you and they need you these days. So okay. I hope this mini reading was helpful to you. Just know that he is there with you. Somebody is also wanting to put his picture on a t-shirt.
Does somebody want to put a picture on a t-shirt?
Yeah, they just did it because there's a sense of like assembling, like I have a t-shirt, I have this picture that I want to print on it, and then I'm like putting out this message of hope. For people, you know, when people do these walks for cancer, they do walks for certain causes.
Oh, yeah.
It feels to me that someone in the family is wanting to do some sort of a walk for suicide awareness or something, where they put his picture on the t-shirt.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Definitely. Wonderful. That makes sense.
Okay, wonderful. And so I'm not sure if it's going to be like a purple t-shirt, but I feel like like when you give them memory, like, oh, it has to be all blue t-shirts, and then you always have this one odd person in the family that will show up in like in a yellow one or in a purple one. I feel like people come together for him doing this walk for awareness. I feel like there's going to be the odd person out that's going to show up in their own t-shirts. You know?
Okay.
So just know that he's there with you, and he's also reminding, is it a brother that he has?
Yes.
Okay. He's reminding him about either playing the, what am I looking at? I'm looking at like a music list. So I'm not sure if somebody has his phone or if they got his iPod or something. Somebody has his music list of favorite tunes, iTunes, I think it's favorite iTunes or something. And they've been playing his music off and on. Do you understand this, please?
You know, I would say most likely his brother has been.
That's kind of like what I was implying, because he's pointing towards the brother, the one that loves the hiking, outdoorsy activities. So I feel like, do you know if his brother might have his phone, or if he had an iPhone or something, or iTunes?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I'm not an iPhone person, believe it or not, even though my name is Siri. I'm like an anti-iPhone person. But he shows me like twisting around the iPhone, and so I feel like somebody got his iPhone or iTunes and they play his music. So just send a lot of love to the whole entire family from your son to you. Alrighty?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Pam.
Thanks, Pam. Have a good one.
You too. Oh. Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Okay, next up we have Megan from Maryland. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. So, Megan, did you have a question for us, or did you want a mini reading with Siri?
A mini reading.
Okay, great.
All righty. So, Megan, I feel like there's two or three people that are actually around you, and I feel like there's two younger people around you. I'm not sure if they're like your kids, or if they're like nieces or nephews, or if they're... Have you ever worked in a school system or as a teacher?
I have not.
Okay. I'm going to say a number of things that are flowing through my mind and sort of what I see in my heart. And I'm going to ask you to keep a really open mind. You know when people work in a school system or they work as school counselors and then they, whether it's teachers or school counselors, and then they touch the lives of many people or many young people. There's, in your family, do you understand somebody that works in an environment like this where they touch the lives of many young people?
Yes, my daughter.
Okay. And do you know if your daughter also sometimes works with people that are either like at risk, or they might be falling between the cracks, where it's like, I don't know if it's like special ed, but she works with very special people or something, or special young people. Do you understand this?
My daughter is in spirit, but she did.
She did. Okay. So then she's the one. She worked with like special, how can I say this? Special, what is it like special? It's not special needs, but it's, huh?
So she did have some students that were special needs.
Yeah, but okay. Cause he shows me like around her, and then she shows me as like, kind of like the kids that fall between the cracks, where if they're like in foster families, I don't know what it is, but she shows me. Would it make sense to you also that your daughter was incredibly empathetic? Incredibly empathetic.
Yeah.
She wanted to save the world. Okay. And she's also showing me right now, there's someone in the family that either started doing painting, or they do watercolors or something, or they have these, I'm going to tell you exactly what she shows me. You know when people start taking classes in watercolor or doing things that are like a little bit different than they would normally do? She shows me people in the family pinning these paintings on the wall. They're not like masterpieces, but they're expression of something. And some of them look very abstract, or they look like angel wings. Do you understand this?
I understand painting, but not necessarily painting angel wings.
Okay. But you understand, who is the one that has been doing painting recently?
Well, her stepfather is a painter.
That's it. Okay. Then I'm going to say this. Do you know if her stepdad has, and does he have either like a studio or a workshop, or he has some of the paintings on the walls?
He has a painting business.
Okay. Oh, like painting walls, like not painting art paintings. Okay, sorry. Yeah. Then I'm gonna change one thing ever so slightly. Has he been taking a little bit of a break from his painting business, or has he been slowing down?
No, not so much.
I'm being shown these like streaks of paint on a wall, lining it up one by one. I don't know what it is. She shows me something that is very detailed, and I just can't figure it out. And in a quick reading like this, what is this?
Yeah.
Does he have two other family members or two other people working for him at times?
Yeah, multiple people.
Okay, wonderful. And are there also violence as family members that work with him sometimes?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I'm going to narrow this down to what I would perceive to be, I think this might be, so you have more kids besides your daughter?
I have stepchildren. And
okay, it's the same thing.
She also had siblings.
Yeah, it's the same thing. But so because she's trying to get me to talk about the painting business, and then she shows me two below dad, or, you know, if it's a stepdad, it would still look the same to me. Do you know if one of the... Because he shows it to me as if there's two other people that do the paintings, or they're painting the walls, and I feel like one of them is having a hard time with her passing. Do you understand this?
About a minute left.
Yeah.
Okay. So I apologize for thinking that it was abstract painting, but I think it was more so that the mind was not in the painting of the walls, and so they have been... I'm not sure if it's a brother or like if it's a stepbrother. It just feels like one of the young people... Huh?
It's her cousin and my husband's nephew.
Okay, wonderful. One of them is having a really, really hard time with her passing. And I'm going to say this. You know when you meet these young people and they're quite artistic? I feel like your daughter is desperately wanting to talk to one of them and say, why don't you try and take some artistic classes? And like not just painting walls, but painting like as an artist and to express the grief that you have within. Because... your daughter showed me one of the two younger ones that are in the business are having a really tough time with her passing. But does it make sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, wonderful. So encourage them to get, you know, just encourage the young ones to get arts more creative, because I feel like they want to paint her life, or they want to paint angel wings or something. So that's why I'm saying this, because they have this beautiful connection to her. The other thing also, she's pointing at my, I think it's the ankle or the leg. Did someone also recently think about getting like a tattoo on their leg or tattoo and the lower or like tattoo on the thigh or the leg or something. Do you understand this?
Her stepfather got a tattoo on his thigh, like his
yes. Yes, because I'll tell you exactly what she did with me. Like she was scratching the side of my leg, and then I asked her, "Are you sure it's down below the waist?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Could we go up to the shoulders?" She's like, "No, it's below the waist." So he got a tattoo on the thigh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just let him know that she knows about it, because we're the two of them quite close.
Yeah.
Okay. Now also. I have to acknowledge, like, a name that I hear is either Dawn, as in D-A-W-N or D-O-N, or the Dawn or Donna or something. Do you understand that in the family? Or David? It's like, yeah, name. I'm going to leave it to the side. But anyway, so are you also, Bennington has a pretty decent...
David.
So what?
Her father's name is David.
Okay, David. Okay, so that's what it was. I was just being shown the first two letters. Okay, David. Are you also, by any chance, a pretty decent baker? Or do you ever make oatmeal cookies or cranberry cookies or something? Or do you understand why she'd be showing me?
Yeah, I always made cookies for her at night.
Okay, because there's a... I'm going to say it how she shows it to me. You know, like when you look at the size of your hand, and when you get the big cookies that are like the size of a... soccer ball or something. I'm not sure if you made cookies that they were like really, really big, but she's talking about some of her favorite ones. I feel like would have been what I would perceive to be either cranberry oatmeal cookies or cranberry cookies. So something that is like a really, really unique. So it's not just a chocolate chip cookie, but there's some sort of a special recipe that you had.
Her grandmother has one that, yeah.
Okay, because I feel like, I'm going to say this, you know, like sometimes when we wonder, like, I wonder if they see us, what we're doing, and then, like, we sort of send out the thought, I miss them, and I feel like I need to say this, she really, really, really misses those cookies. Like, the cookies is something that if she could have those cookies in heaven. So, the other thing also here, though, when she passed away, do you understand someone putting something in her casket? Either a letter or a card or a toy?
Yeah.
Because she's holding it up.
Her younger siblings put letters.
Yes, because I like the way she showed it to me, I'm going to be honest with you. The way she showed it to me was as if I was looking at like a small teddy bear, but I kind of knew that it was not a teddy bear, but like from the little ones. And so I need to let them know. So I need to let them know that I like she was showing me like as if I was holding on a tiny little Paddington bear or something. But I knew that it was not that, but it was little letters. So I feel like, and is this like two or three of them that put in letters for her?
Yeah, two letters and a necklace.
Okay, because I saw two plus one. Okay, the next thing here also, did you just recently look at photographs of her, like where she was wearing a prom dress? Because she's talking about she looks really, really stunning. And,
today.
Just absolutely stunning. And I feel like if I might say, when you were looking at the pictures in her prom dress, she must have been either like she must have had like long hair and a little bit wavy also. Make sense?
Yeah.
Do you remember, I'm going to say this a little bit side note, do you remember the movie Pretty Woman?
Yeah.
And Julia Roberts, and how like incredibly beautiful Julia Roberts is.
Mm-hmm.
It feels to me that your daughter should be like, she doesn't look anything like Julia Roberts, but it feels to me that in the Pretty Woman, like no, in the prom pictures or in the picture of the prom dress, there was something about her, the way she was lighting up in the pictures. It's just breathtakingly beautiful.
Yeah.
And I also do get a sense that these are some of your favorite pictures, and she's agreeing with you. She's nodding her head and said, "Mom, they're also my favorite pictures." So I think I'm gonna wrap it up with that. And she's acknowledging that.
Thank you.
The necklace also. I mean, you mentioned it, but she's acknowledging she's got it. She holds it tight in her hands. So thank you. So now you know that your daughter is with you, and also big hello to stepdad and everyone. Alrighty.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Megan, before you go,
you.
I, ha- Don't go yet. I have to chime in. Do you know why your daughter would be showing me the movie Charlotte's Web? Is somebody named Charlotte? Do you like what is the connection to that? Cartoon spider? I have no idea where I'm going with this.
I'm not sure, but I'll take it and think about that.
Yeah, you got to ask, because the whole time you're talking, I'm like, what am I? I mean, it was one of my favorite movies as a kid. But I know they had the remake, like the kind of the live action one, like in the 2000s. Maybe that's the one she's talking about. But yeah, I got to be honest, either the name Charlotte or, I mean, the pig's name was Wilbur, but I don't think anybody's named Wilbur anymore. I don't know. But please just keep that.
I don't know. My husband's here, and he just told me he picked up a paint today that's called Charlotte something.
Get out of here.
Late, so I.
Oh, okay. I mean, take that. Because I'm like, it was funny. It happened when you were talking about the painting, and I'm like, here they are talking about painting walls, and I'm seeing like a Charlotte's Web cartoon. Like, what the hell is this? But I guess if you just had a paint and picked it up and it has the name Charlotte, it's just your daughter's little way of letting you know that she's around him. That's all.
And I just add one little thing in addition to this. Do you remember the song with Dolly Parton and later on, it was a song, Jolene?
Yeah.
Is there somebody in the family that either loves country music or they love Dolly Parton or they love Miley Cyrus or something?
Oh, she and I both love country music.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, because I'm going to tell you this. Like your daughter, she won't let go. And she's like, she started singing with me, Jolene, Jolene. So it feels to me that whenever you put the music on, just know that she's there with you and she has some favorite songs and she's asking you to play them more often.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Megan.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for
Take
calling.
Care.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, very well, Siri, we are pretty much out of time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know, it goes fast, right? This
it
hour?
Goes really fast, yeah.
Yes, well, we are out of time, but I would like to thank you, our guest, Siri Burnson, for joining us this evening. And Siri, if listeners want more information about your work or want to book a reading, is the best place to do that on your website or Facebook or anything like that?
Yeah, everything is automated on my website. It's spiritoflight.com, and then you're going to see a tab that says book a session, and then under that you're going to see the options for either Zoom or in person. And so it's all automated, and I get an email, but otherwise that's how it is. Spiritoflight.com. They can also do SiriBurnson.com. It should go to the same page.
Oh, yeah. I have mine set up like that, too.
Yeah.
I have both the domains. Awesome. Well, very good. So everyone knows where to find you now to book a reading.
Yeah.
Awesome.
If they have questions, though, I'm going to say this. If they do have questions, they can also just email me, Siri, S-I-R-R-Y, at SpiritOfLights.com.
Oh, perfect. Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I used to be really good about responding to emails. I'm not as good at it anymore because I'm trying to stay away from technology.
Yeah, I get that.
But I do respond to them when I see that they're important.
Awesome. Okay, well, very good. Well, Siri, thank you so much again for being on the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
It was a pleasure to have you. And I'd also like to thank our listeners for being with us tonight. And we hope that each and every one of you find your way to healing. And we invite you to go to our website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And please tune in next week at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for Signs of Life Light. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. I'm Joe Peretta, and if you'd like to check out my work, you can visit me on my website at joeperetta.com or on Instagram or TikTok at Joe Peretta. You can find me there as well. And in the meantime, I'd like to wish you all a great evening, and always remember that your loved ones are just a heartbeat away, and one day science is going to prove it. Good night, everyone.